Bez Hashem, we're poised to begin the Meshech Chachma on Parshas Bamidbar as well, Sefer Bamidbar, and I guess it means we turn over a new page because we actually begin Chelek Beis in the Sefer. The first Chelek is Bereishis Shmos VaYikra. Here we are already holding by the second Chelek Bamidbar, Bereishis Shmos VaYikra. So I wanted to start with an interesting discussion the Meshech Chachma has, very first page, right at the beginning, in page Shin Zayin. Second paragraph, V'soviv la'mishkan yachanu, v'chonu b'nei Yisrael isha machneu, v'alavim yachanu soviv la'mishkan ho'edus. A lot of the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar is devoted to describing the makeup of the Machane Yisrael. And we know in general terms that the Machane really consisted of three concentric circles, essentially. There was the Machane Shechina, you know, right in the middle of the Machane. That was the where the Mishkan was. And then as the Pasuk over here that he quotes says, V'alevim yachanu salvik l'mishkan ho'edus, the families of the Levim formed a second circle. Thank you. The second circle around the Mishkan. So that was the Machane Leviya, a second camp. And then the rest of the Jews, you know, I mean, the Levim, when we talk about the Levim, we mean the Kohanim and the Levim. And then the rest of the Jews formed the third concentric circle, you know, on the outside. That was the Machane Yisrael. And we know that Chazal speak of three Machanos in the Midbar. And subsequently, when the Jews settle in Eretz Yisrael, they also speak about three different Machanos in terms of Yerushalayim, that these different Machanos, with each of which had halachic ramifications, continued, you know, in when the Jews settled Yerushalayim. Hinei kaimalon, de balkeri min hatara mishtalea chutz lishnei machanos. Min bekol zov, l'rabos balkeri, kidomer Rabbi Yochanan perek, reish perek elu dvorim. Right? So first of all, the Meshech Chachma, without mentioning the pasuk, but he's referring to a pasuk which we're going to have later on in Parshas Noso. Right, when the pasuk says, "Yeah, Perikay, by Davar Hashem Moshe Leimer Tzavis Bnei Yisrael Bishalchu Min Amachane Kol Tzorua." They should send forth from the Machane anyone who's a Mitzora, anyone who's a Zav means someone who gives forth some kind of secretion, some kind of liquid from that, from the genital area of the body, and anyone who's Tomei Lo Nefesh. So Rashi over here writes, Vishalchum in a Machane, Shalosh Machane Sol Yisrael Mishas Chani Yosam. Right? Again, as we said before, there were three Machanos in Klal Yisrochur. Toch HaKloi U'machane Shechina, the innermost Machane within the curtains of the Mishkan was the Machane Shechina. Chaniyas HaLeviyim saw that come up for Shemafurish Parshas Bamidbar Sinai. As it says in our Parsha, the Leviyim surrounded afterwards the Machane Leviyah. U'misham, the Atzav Machane HaDegol U'chalav HaRuchos Y'machane Yisrael. And then after that was the Machane Yisrael. So the Tzorua, the Zav, and the Tomei Lanefesh are sent out of different camps. The Mitzora is sent outside of all three camps, right? Correspondingly, in Yerushalayim, he would be sent out of the walls of the city. Hazav, Mutter, B'machane Yisrael, Mishulach min Ashtayim. The Zav, the person who, again, has this bodily secretion, he is set, is allowed to be in the Machane Yisrael. Again, a Zav didn't have to leave Yerushalayim, but he did have to leave the Har HaBayis. He did have to leave the Machane Leviyah. Right, he couldn't be in the Machane Leviyah. He was excluded from two of the Machanas. And Tomei Lo Nefesh, Motiv Afkashel Leviyah. The person who's Tomei Nefesh, who comes into contact with the dead body, so he can even be in the Machane Leviyah. He's only excluded from the Machane Shechina. Right? In other words, he would only be excluded from the Beis HaMikdash itself. Right? Okay, good. But Chazal tell us that the Zav is a somewhat more unusual function, you know, it's a disorder of the body where the person secretes that kind of liquid. But a balkeri, a regular, ordinary man who has an ordinary emission of shikvat zera, is considered for these purposes like a zav. So in other words, somebody who has an emission of shikvat zera, would also be sent out of the Machane Leviyah. Right? He would be sent out of the second camp, i.e. the Har HaBayis, Bisman HaMikdash, and the Machane Leviyah, Bisman in the time of the Midbar. So then he asked a very, very simple question. So in Cain, Eichayu HaLeviyim Osi B'Machane Shalahem, Eichayu Mutarim B'Tashmish Ve'Eichayu In the Shoseim. So how did the Leviyim lead a normal marital life? I mean, a person becomes a Baal Keri just by being intimate with his wife. So in other words, you're going to tell me that every time the Levi was intimate with his wife, he had to leave the Machane Leviyah? How did that work? Right? That's abnormal. How could that possibly have played itself out in practical terms? So he says a very fascinating chiddush. Masarik lomar, the Leviyim Hashomer Mishmeres Hakodesh, Hayusmuchim Sovik Lemishkan Hoedus. The Aleim Unishayim Vitapeyim Hayuchonim Svivos Machanam Lifnei Machane Yisrael. Fascinating chiddush. He said the Machane Leviyah was actually divided, was subdivided into two sections. It was Machane Leviyah A and Machane Leviyah B. The Leviyim formed Machane Leviyah A. In other words, those Leviyim who were actively involved in Avodah in the Mishkan. Whether the Kohanim who were involved in the Avodah or the Leviyim who were involved as Shoarim or Mishorim, they encamped in a circle that immediately surrounded the Mishkan, call it Machane Leviyah A. But then, a little bit further out, was what you'd call Machane Leviyah B, where their actual full-time homes were, where their wives and children lived. When they were, quote-unquote, on duty, they would be in Machane Leviyah A. But then, when they were off duty and just, you know, when they were in plain clothes, you know, when they were just leading regular lives as Leviim or Kohanim for that matter, and not actively involved in the Mishkan, they were somewhat further removed from the typical Machane Leviyah. They were in Machane Leviyah B, and that enabled them to be with their wives.
Shmiras, right?
I'm sorry? So I think we generally say the Mishmaras were instituted by David HaMelech, so I don't know exactly how they did it in the Midbar, but I think that they come from David HaMelech, if I'm not mistaken. So in other words, what exactly happened in the Midbar, I'm not sure, but clearly there were Kohanim Leviyim on active duty and some who were on inactive duty. The ones on inactive duty were in the Machane Leviyah part B. So therefore, that explains the fact that the Medrash says, and Rashi brings it, that there was a gap between the Machane Leviyah and the Machane Yisrael. Right? In other words, there was a gap of a mil. You know, between, you know, a little bit less than a mile, between the end of the Machane Leviyah and the beginning of the Machane Yisrael. Why was that gap there? Why have a gap? I mean, why not bring everything as close as possible? The gap was there because that gap was not halakhically the Machane Leviyah, because again, the Machane Leviyah precluded the presence of Baal Keri, and a lady couldn't lead a normal marital life if he was going to be excluded from the Machane Leviyah every time he became a Baal Keri. So in that meal of no man's land was what we're calling the Machane Leviyah B, you know, the actual tents, which were the permanent dwellings of the Leviyim, together with their wives and their families, their children and the like. You know, the need for that gap was to be able to put in Machane Leviyah part B. V'lochein, Omar, v'soviv, la'mishkon yachanu, Hema ha'gvarim levad, v'ha'leviyim yachanu, soviv le'mishkan ho'edus, Zeh im nishosem kechanias Machane Yisrael. Says the Mashiach Chochmah, if you look carefully in the Pesukim, you'll see this concept of the dual, you know, the dual level of the Machane Leviyah. If you look back at the Pesukim that he quotes, again, in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, Pesukim Nun through Nun Gimel, so Pasuk Nun says as follows. V'ata hafkeidus ha'leviyam ha'mishkan ho'edus v'alkol kelo v'alkol asher lo. You should appoint the Leviyim, put them in charge of the Mishkan, and all of the kelim, all the vessels, and everything that's associated with it. Heimo yisu es ha'mishkan v'yaskol kelo v'en yishar suhu. they will carry the Mishkan and all of its kelim, and they will service it. The Salviv la Mishkan Yachanu, and they will encamp around the Mishkan. And then we just skipped forward a few psukim, pasuk nun gimel. The Halavim Yachanu Salviv la Mishkan Oivus, and the Halavim will encamp surrounding the Mishkan Oivus. Why do you need that pasuk? You just told me that. Took psukim before. So says the Meshech Chachma, it's meduyik in the psukim that there were two concentric circles of Levim. The first concentric circle, which we spoke about, Sovim la Mishkan Yachanu, back in Pasuk Nun, that's the Levim who are actually taking care of the Mishkan. Again, they were on active duty, as is implied in the Pasuk. The Pasuk said, Hakir is Halavim al Mishkan Oedus. Right? So that's Sovim la Mishkan Yachanu, the first ring of Levim. But when it says later on, Valavim, Yachim, Sovel, Mishkan, Oedus, and Pasuk Nim Gimel, that's referring to the off-duty Levim. That's referring to the wives and the children, you know, when the Levim were just living normal family lives, you know, they had a second ring of Levim. V'lochein Eidus Ksiv, She'edus Shashchina Shorah V'Yisrael, She'zihirin U'krushin Me'aroya. So says the Meshech Chachma. So there's another difference in the Pesukim. The first pasuk in Nun that speaks about what the Meshech Chachma is referring to as the first circle of Levim, so talks about them encamping Saviv la Mishkan. They're around the Mishkan. The second pasuk that talks about the families of the Levim says that they surrounded the Mishkan Ho'edus, the Mishkan of testimony. Now that's very funny, especially in light. First of all, it's odd that in one case it's Mishkan, the other case is Mishkan Oedus. It's also odd in light of the Meshech Chachma's paradigm over here, because if you were to ask me, I would think Mishkan Oedus is really talking about the Mishkan. In other words, the Mishkan in its sacred role, right? Which would really be the first one. This, you know, Mishkan just is a way of designating a geographical place. Okay, they happen to be around the Mishkan. I would think, if you would ask me, I would think the first circle is around the Mishkan Ho'edus. The second circle is around the Mishkan. But the Pasuk has it backwards. Or, you know, the Pasuk has it the way we think is backwards, right? As the Pasuk has the active Levium around the Mishkan. The Levir, when they're in plains clothes, you know, when they're on downtown with their families, they're out of Mishkan Oedus. What's pshat? Right? So this is beautiful pshat. Because family life is a tremendous eidus, it's a tremendous testimony. In what sense? The family life of the Jewish people shows us how and why the Shekhinah dwells among the Jewish people, because we have a family life. Zihirim uprushim me'aronos. We are careful when it comes to illicit relations. Unfortunately, you compare the Jewish people with other sociological groups, even to this day. Right? Again, okay, so we have exceptions to the rule, but the rule in Jewish life is that you got a mother, you have a father, and the kids are the kids, the children of that mother and father. Right? You know, that's the rule. Now, yeah, you know, again, you have exceptions. Right? But in other sociological groupings, that's the exception. You know, how mother, well, family, what? You mean, you know, the mother and the father, they're living together. These are actually their children. Who ever heard of such a thing? Right? So, you know, by us, so, you know, Eidus Hi Yisrael, you know, our family life is such a beautiful reflection of the presence of the Shekhinah. So that's the Mishkan Oedus, the Levim in their family lives demonstrated Kedusha. And we find that Chazal elsewhere used this notion that the family life of the Jewish people is an eidus on the presence of the Shekhinah. Kama shedarshu al kra v'shivtei ka eidus liYisrael. Right? The Pasuk says, Tehillim, shivtei ka eidus liYisrael, hevi o rashi parshas pinchos al kra mishpachas hachanochi. Right? So, the Pasuk in Tehillim describes how the Shivtei Ka, the Shvatim themselves, the family life of the Jewish people, are Eidus LeYisrael, right? In other words, our family life, the fact that we're enacted on all these things, is the biggest sign that we have Ashuas HaShchinah. V'chein kasuv akol levei ha-mishkan kedma Moshe ve'aron uvanov v'darish Moshe al-machin al-levi al-bereish tamid ma Moshe b'chadukta v'yaron b'chadukta my mafik krol the machlo of the abolishion Moshe when he kari hashavet b'shmo lefize osi shapir. The ma Moshe hayo below Yisho Ken hayu korachon nimutnei amishkan below isha. She'alze hayu din machan alavim. The Baal Kerem mishpulei chutz l'shtei machanos v'dok. And just to finally round this out, he says, he has the following to support his idea of a dual machane, of a dual machane leviyah. Right? If you look a little bit later in our parasha, in Perek Gimel, right? Perek Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Vachonim Lifnei HaMishkan Kedma, Lifnei Oel Moed, those who encamped on the eastern side of the Mishkan before the Oel Moed, Mizracha, Moshe the Aaron of Adam. There was Moshe and Aaron and his sons. Shalom Mishmeres HaMikdash Mishmeres B'nei Yisrael Azar Kar of Yumas. Right? If you notice, in the Pasuk there's a psik, there's a line between Moshe and Aaron and his sons. And I think based on that, the Gemara told the Dashans that Moshe over here is representative of the Machane Leviyah as a whole. This is a reference to the Leviyim. And Aaron's sons are representative of the Kohanim. Right? And this teaches us that there was Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was built later on, the Kohanim and the Leviyim would stand watch in the Beis HaMikdash in various different places. So why are all the Leviyim called Moshe? Now why is Moshe picked to symbolize the entire Machane? The entire Shevet of Levi. The entire Machane Leviyah. So again, he says, based on his idea, we now establish that the Machane Leviyah, Machane Leviyah A, was essentially made up of quote-unquote celibate Leviyah. Now, not really celibate Leviyah, but as long as they could have been married, but as long as they were serving in Machane Leviyah A, they were basically separated from their wives. Because had they become Balikeri, which would have come about in the course of their normal interaction with their wives, right? Had they become Baalei Keri, they wouldn't have been eligible to stay in Machane Leviyah A. So anyone who was in Machane Leviyah A was effectively celibate for the period of time that he was in that Machane, much as Moshe Rabbeinu also separated from his wife during the course of the 40 years that they were in the desert. That we know. Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife Tzipora. He was not intimate with her physically because of the fact that he was always ready to receive God's Nevuah. We know that Aaron and Miriam complained against Moshe Rabbeinu later on because of that. But in other words, all of those Leviyim who were in Machane Leviyah A were quote-unquote Moshe. They were following, at least temporarily, the model of Moshe Rabbeinu and his separation from his wife, you know, in terms, and in a similar fashion, that's how they function in the Machane Leviyah as well. Al-Derech HaDrush, just to extend this a little bit, the Meshech Chachma clearly is talking in a halachic vein. In other words, he's saying that alpi halacha, you know, not halacha l'maisa, but in terms of a halachic understanding, there's a chiddush in halacha that there are two Machane Leviyahs, right? And when we talk about the Machane Leviyah, again, there's the Machane Leviyah for the on-duty Leviyim, and there's the Machane Leviyah for the off-duty Leviyim, so to speak. Al derech hadush, we might say that those who are involved in avodas hakodesh can fulfill their role as Leviyim. So we know the Rambam famously says that anyone who's involved in Limud HaTorah and Havotzas HaTorah is, so to speak, a member of Shevet Levi, whether or not he's biologically a member of Shevet Levi, but in an ideological sense, in a borrowed sense, he's a member of Shevet Levi. So a person is a Levi in two different senses. When a person serves God in the direct fashion, when he's taking care of the Mishkan, when he's taking care of Torah in the narrow sense of the Torah, Limud HaTorah, Harbasas HaTorah, Tefillah, when he's involved in those kinds of actions, he's a Levi in that sense. But when a person is involved in his family, taking care of his family, and carrying on a regular family life, that's also a form of being a Levi. That's also a way of carrying out one's divine service. You know, it's a different type of Machane Leviyah, but it's a Machane Leviyah nonetheless. And again, as the Meshech Chachma beautifully says, in many ways, the Egos, that which provides the testimony that God's Shekhinah dwells among the Jewish people, is not so much the Machane Leviyah, where the Levi is involved in being in the Mishkan, you know, in things which are obviously and explicitly holy, but when he's involved in family life, and he brings up a family, he's involved in relations with his wife, he's involved in relations with his children, you know, and he does that on Taharat HaKodesh, he does that in a way which bespeaks the Kedusha and Tahara of the Jewish family itself. is a role which a person plays in being a Levi, and we shouldn't make short shrift of that or discount that in any way as somehow being less significant than the Limud HaTorah, the Habatzas HaTorah, which a person would be involved in. Right, so the Shechina ultimately comes into a good marital relationship, right? So that's the Eidos L'Yisrael. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at a fascinating Meshech Chochmas on page Shin Yud. He's commenting on the pasuk. It's the bottom right hand, the bottom of the right hand column. V'hoyuli halaviyam ani Hashem. Yiterek Gimel, pasuk mem hey. V'idaber Hashem Moshe leimor, kachas halaviyam tachas kol b'chor b'vnei Yisrael, v'esbemas halaviyam tachas v'emtom. Right, take the Leviyam in place of all of the b'chorim, and take the animals of the Leviyam instead of the animals of the b'charim of the Jewish people. For hayuli aladim ani Hashem, the Leviyam should be mine. I am Hashem. So Meshech Chochma comes from this pasuk as follows: Da, tohad the aru perak b'nei ho'ir, the tashmish kedusha kadosh, the tashmish lo. This actually fits into what we're learning in Mishnah Berurah. We know there's a concept in halacha called guf hakedusha, right? In other words, tefillin are inherently holy, right? In other words, the very tefillin themselves are holy and have to be treated with kedusha. We also know that something which is a tashmish kedusha, which services kedusha but it's not itself holy, also has to be treated with a degree of holiness. So we give the example, the tefillin zekel, right? The bag which houses the tefillin. Although you say, oh, it was a bag, it's a bag. I mean, it wasn't written in any specific way. It doesn't have the Kedusha of Tzvon, you're right. But it's Tashmish Kedusha. It's something which services Kedusha. So it also acquires Kedusha. But a Tashmish to Tashmish, but something which is two steps removed, which services that which services the Kedusha, that doesn't have Kedusha. Right? So in other words, let's say the plastic bag, which a person oftentimes puts over the velvet bag, which houses the tefillin. So in other words, it's two steps removed from the tefillin. That doesn't have kedusha, right? So where did Chazal get this idea from? Again, it's a gemara, it's a halacha l'maisa. So Meshech Chochma fascinatingly says, "Yatzal em l'daifi midin Torah." It appears to me, in my humble opinion, that it comes out from the Chumash itself. This distinction between Tashmish Kedusha and Tashmish to Tashmish. The Ashkechon the Kohanim Heimo Mishamshei Kedusha, Kedusha Isfuhu. Because we find that Kohanim have an inherent Kedusha themselves. Ukdoshim Yiyu V'lo Yichalulu the Kohen Shizinso Nifsulom in Amaisa the Kedusha Gufa. Right, we find that there are certain halachas that govern how a kohen has to conduct himself. Again, you know, just to take some obvious ones, the kohen can't go to a funeral, right? He's not allowed to be metamei lemeis in any way. Right? There are halachas that govern what a kohen is allowed to do. A kohen's not allowed to marry certain people, can't marry a grusha, a gioris, a chavusa, whatever it happens to be. Right? Why is that? So says the Meshech Chochma, because a kohen is a tashmish kedusha. What do you mean? Well, the ultimate kedusha is the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen services the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the Kohen is the, so to speak, the bag for the tefillin. In other words, he and his person is servicing the Beis HaMikdash. So just like Tashmish the Kedusha, he acquires a certain amount of inherent kedusha himself because his role is to serve the Mikdash. Achein Leviim Heimon Nesunim LaAaron Uvanov VaHavi Mishamshei Mishamshei. What's the role of a Levi? The role of a Levi is to service the Kohanim. Right? This is made. It's actually interesting. The pasuk says this, right? That the Leviim are again, as he quotes, that they are Nesunim LaAaron Uvanov. They are given over to Aaron and to his sons to serve them. And, you know, I think the Hanhaga which we have today, which is not a halacha, it's based on a Zohar, But the Hanukkah we have today, which brings this most obviously, is by Duchenin, right? When the Levium pour water on the hands of the Kohanim, the Levium is servicing the Kohanim. The role of the Levium is to help out the Kohanim. So he says, so that makes the Levium Tashmish to Tashmish, right? Okay, so let's continue a little bit. He's going to try to address that. Right? That's why we find that there is no inherent kedusha in being a Levi. In other words, what does being a Levi get you? I mean, it gets you entitlements. You know, you get miser, true. Right? You're entitled to take the second aliyah, you know, by the Kriya Satora. But those are not functions of kedusha. Right? In other words, the miser actually is something that belongs to the Levi in a monetary sense. The miser can be shared with a Yisrael, with a non-Levi. He's going to talk about that a little bit later on. Right? But it's not holy in the sense that Truma is. The Levi is not holy. In other words, the Levi doesn't have any restrictions on his mobility or his marriage. Right? Because the Levi can marry anybody. The Levi can go to funerals. The Levi doesn't have that same kind of kedusha that attaches itself to him the way the Kedusha attaches itself to the Kohen. Why not? The Levi's also special. So why aren't there special halachos that govern the Levi? So we, again, in a brilliant paradigm, he says, because the Levi is Tashmish to Tashmish. The Levi's role is to help out the Kohen. The Kohen's role is to serve the Mikdash. So whereas the Kohen is only one step removed from the Beis HaMikdash, the Levi, in a sense, is two steps removed from the Beis HaMikdash. V'lochein bo'eis maso melechus HaKodesh. Hayu hakrashim mitzarin alu agolos ba'avodas b'nei kehos asher hayu bakosef hayu mechusa b'vgodim kidei shabgodim yu mishamshe kedusha ba'alavim yu tashmish v'tashmish. Right? That's why the all of the parts of the Mishkan which were carried by the Levium were all carried indirectly. Right? Again, the krushim, the boards of the Mishkan, were put on wagons, which the Levium then moved the wagons. So you say, why did they move the wagons? Why did they carry the krushim directly? So Pashtun Pshat, you would say, okay, the krushim, the boards were very heavy. Perhaps it's easier to put them on the wagons itself. It's a halachic reason. The Levium couldn't directly touch the parts of the Mishkan, because then they would have been Tashmishe Kedusha Mamish. They had to be two steps removed. So Mimela, the boards, had to go on to the agolos, onto the wagons. The Levium would carry the agolos. This way, they were two steps removed from the Mishkan. I, B'nai Kehos, we know that one family, the Kehos, that was the premier family within the Levium. The halacha is Bakosef Yisol. They carried the Arav, they carried the other Kelim, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and they carried it on their shoulders. Right? So they were involved directly, so doesn't that make them Mishamsh Tashmisha? And not just Tashmisha, the Tashmisha. The Tashmishim. So he said, oh, but you see that the Torah is very active, that they cover over the these various kalim. So those essentially what they were carrying, they were coming into contact with the covers, and they were only carrying the Klei HaKodesh indirectly. That was done precisely to ensure that the Levium would maintain their status as being two steps removed from the actual Kedusha itself, not Tashmishe Kedusha, because then that would have transformed the very nature of the Levium. V'chein adin, d'chadva heve kelyam, v'asheni kli, heve tashmish de tashmish, u'kmo kan, sh'avigodim hoyu kelyam, v'chozos hoyu alevim, tashmish de tashmish. Right? And he relates this even to a very fascinating halacha, which again we talked about recently in Hilchos Tefillin, and which he says is related ultimately here, the idea of kli b'soch kli. Right? What's kli b'soch kli? So the halacha is that a holy item can be in a place where it's not supposed to be. Let's say take a common day modern example. You can bring tefillin into a restroom as long as the tefillin are wrapped kli b'soch kli. They have to be in a double wrapping, one wrapping which surrounds the tefillin, and another wrapping which surrounds that wrapping, right? Right. In other words, you put the tefillin are in their velvet bag, and then that velvet bag is in your tote bag, Right? So that's clean, but so clean. Now, you know, you can bring the tote bag into the bathroom while you're in the train station or whatever it happens to be, you know, without running, running afoul of bringing tefillin into a place which is not a holy place. Right? So where did Chazal get this idea of kli b'sof kli from? So he says, ultimately, it goes back to the Levian. Because kli b'sof kli is just a variant on the idea of tashmish b'tashmish. Kli b'sof kli means that if something is two steps removed from the etzem kedusha, from the kedusha itself, so then you can treat it the derech chol, that it doesn't have kedusha. The kli, the one kli which surrounds the kedusha, that's like the kohanim. But the second kli which surrounds the kedusha is like the Levium. So just as the Levium don't have kedusha, so too the tote bag. Because when you bring the tote bag into the restroom, you look at it as bringing a tote bag into the restroom and not as bringing tefillin into the restroom. More than that, we know the halacha is a kli b'sof kli. One kli can be miyuchad, can be set aside exclusively for the kedusha, meaning the velvet bag is only used to house the tefillin, right? Nonetheless, it's still considered to be kli b'sof kli as long as both bags are not considered to be set aside for the tefillin. So in other words, the tefillin in their velvet bag, and then with the plastic bag, which is exclusively used to cover over the velvet bag, would not enable you to bring the tefillin into the restroom. But putting the velvet bag into a tote bag, which is sometimes used for tefillin, sometimes used for other things, you know, that's called kli b'sof kli. Where do we get that idea from? So he says from the Levium. Because the Levium carried, the Bnei Kehos carried the Klei HaKodesh when they were covered. The covering was used exclusively for these kelim. So that's Kelion. That's considered to be the Klei which is exclusively used for them. The Bnei Kehos did other things. I mean, they didn't just walk around all day carrying Klei HaKodesh. So he considers them to be just Klei which is not Kelion. So Klei, carrying Kelion, you know, which is encloses the Guf HaKedusha, is still considered to be enough to not evoke, to not bring Kedushas HaGuf onto the Levium, again, in line with this idea of Tashmish to Tashmish.
When Yisrael or even Alei, that means, does this mean that when Yisrael or even Alei went into the Beis Hamikdash, maybe she wasn't allowed to touch anything?
Well, the Levi wouldn't have been there for it. Let's say the Levi wouldn't have been in the Kodesh. Right? That only would have been...
I'm not talking about the clutching clutch, what we're talking about is...
Yeah, the Levi wouldn't have been in the Kodesh. In other words, the Azara was off limits for anyone besides Kohanim after the first 11 hours. Right? So in other words, the Levi wouldn't have gotten that far anyway. The Kohanim would be allowed to touch the Kalim, you know, the Shulchan and the Menorah and the like. But again,
know,
that was...
I don't know exactly what it looked like, so in other words, there was no Kalim in the part that Israel...
Right. All the Kalim were further inside.
There was nothing to touch.
Right.
But what about the walls or something that was part of the structure?
Yeah, that they'd be allowed to touch. But that doesn't
when
have to
say Kodesh, you're talking about the Kalim.
The inner sanctum, you know, before you get to the Kodesh HaKodashim, the room, the Heichal, which was right before the Kodesh HaKodashim, is the inner room of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Right? So that's what he writes, V'lachem kosu v'hoyu li ha-levi'im ani Hashem. And that's it, and it's merumus, it's hinted at the Pasuk itself. What's the Pasuk say? V'hoyu li ha-levi'im ani Hashem. The Levium should be to me, kama, I am Hashem. It's very funny in terms of the syntax. It seems excessively wordy. V'hoyu li ha-levi'im, right? V'hoyu l'Hashem ha-levi'im. What does it mean? V'hoyu li ha-levi'im? Ani Hashem. Oh, it's Hashem speaking. We didn't know that, you know, until now. What does it mean? V'hoyu li ha-levi'im ani Hashem. So he says like this. L'ramei shem Hashem yisparach mishmal yeshnei hafsekos v'hu tashmish detashmish v'hu li ani. Right? There are two pronouns, you know, which refer to Hashem, which separate between the Shem Hashem and the Levium. Right? In other words, V'hoyu li ha-Levium ani Hashem. The idea of the Pasuk is to indicate that there's a separation between Hashem and the Levium, right? That You know, it doesn't say Vahayu Lashem HaLeviim, because Lashem HaLeviim would have indicated the Leviim are dedicated to Hashem directly. That's only Kohanim. Vahayu Li HaLeviim Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem, Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei is separate, and then the Leviim are a step removed from the Shem Hashem, or even two steps removed from the Shem Hashem. V'chein V'lokachto HaLeviim Li Ani Hashem. And the same appears also in the Pasuk, right? If you look back in Pasuk Mem Aleph, the Lokachto is HaLeviim Li Ani Hashem. You have the same kasha over there. What are the words Ani Hashem and? The Lokachto is HaLeviim Li, and we know that it's Hashem. Or say, the Lokachto is HaLeviim Lashem. Right? If you want to bring the Shem Hashem in there, so just do it directly. It's kind of cumbersome. The Lokachto is HaLeviim Li Ani Hashem. Meaning, you'll take them towards me, but still, Ani Hashem, that I am Yudkei Vavkei, separate from them, that there's a gap placed between the Kedusha itself and the role that that the Leviim play. Right? So, that, you know, when we talk about the, you know, the role of the Leviim in the Beis HaMikdash, we know the Leviim played two roles in the Beis HaMikdash. They were Shoarim, and they were Mishoarim. They were singing, and they were involved in opening and closing the gates. So presumably he would hold that that's also called Tashmish to Tashmish, meaning we as the Kohanim are involved in the avoda of the Mikdash itself. They're involved in bringing the Karbanos in a direct kind of fashion. Everything the Leviim do is secondary in nature. Right? In other words, yeah, good, you open the door. Opening the door enables, they're enablers, you know, it enables the avoda to take place. Singing by the karbanos enhances the karbanos, but it's not the real deal. In other words, it's a step removed from everything. The act of being mishorim and shoarim may not service the kohanim in a direct sense, but if we understand as follows, the role of the kohanim is to serve Hashem through the karbanos. And the Leviim take care of some of the side stuff, some of the, you know, what we call in modern day terms, I guess, like the back office work. You know, they take care of the, you know, the less glamorous stuff, the Shira and the less direct stuff, the Shira and the opening and closing of the gates. So that frees up the Kohanim to be able to work on what is directly involved in the Kedusha. So in that kind of sense, they're servicing the Kohanim. And again, in his paradigm, it's a tashmish to tashmish.
How was the Leviim a chalitim for the Bechorim? Bechorim were actually the instead of the Kohanim. They were directly involved in the Avodah of Hashem. They were looking at the Leviim supposed to be.
Right, so I think when they talk about the Leviim being tachlif ha-Bechorim, it means the whole Shevet Levi. Meaning, you know, the Bechor, presumably the Bechorim were also subdivided into, you know, people who were involved in a primary sense versus people involved in a secondary sense. And here the entire Shevet Levi took over the Avodas HaKodesh, whether Kohanim in the primary sense or the Leviim in the kind of secondary sense, the Tashmish, the Tashmish. So the whole Shevet Levi takes over the role which was originally set aside for the Bechorim. Right. So again, it's fascinating and perhaps, you know, typical of the Meshech Chochmah. These halachas, which you go through the Gemara and you figure, okay, Chazal kind of on their own arbitrarily, you know, decided that, you know, there's a Tashmish, the Tashmish. Now, everything is rooted back in the Chumash itself. Right? Even these Dinim, which are Dinim D'Rabbanan, you know, ultimately go back to the Pesukim and Chumash, again, just bringing a whole new light on, you know, what Chazal said in a couple of places. Called the Tikkun Rabbanim, Ke'en D'Oraisa Tikkun, even the Dinim D'Rabbanim, are all modeled and patterned after Dinim D'Oraisa. You know, Chazal didn't invent anything. To the extent to which they made anything new, you know, the paradigm which they were working with was always a paradigm which was based in the Chumash itself. Okay. Wish everyone a good Shabbos, Bez Hashem, and we'll pick up next week with Parshas Nasa. I have to figure out what to do with Parshas Baalosa because Shavuos comes out in the middle of the week. But when we get there, you know, we'll worry about that.